first school you attended?
Boswell.
Boswell Elementary.
Yes, I went through 8 grades at Boswell, and I had very, very good teachers. You know, I had the greatest school experience of my life in those first 8 years. All the teachers knew your family, and they didn't mind. You got out of line, putting you in line real fast. Very disciplined school, but a very dedicated faculty that I couldn't say enough about.
On into junior high school then?
Junior high school. I went to Boswell for 7th and 8th. And the 9th grade, I went to Fogarty Junior High School in Guthrie. And that was really a wonderful experience. Never will forget it. I got there and went out for football and got a job at Daily O'Cloman, throwing papers at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I had a job at Dairy and Ice Cream, his owned by Ralph Hood, who was a great mentor to me the rest of my life and the rest of his life. He's dead now, but I worked about 14 hours a day. And then I had enough money saved up that I didn't have to work through football season. I went out for football, and on the second game at Moore, Oklahoma, I'll never forget this because he picks a captain. The first week he picked a guy as captain, and the second week he picked me. And all the guys says, he thinks you're the second best football player on the team. And it did something to me. It lifted me up from being a country boy that I was in town now, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. Every time I drive down I-35 and I see that football field over there on the east side, that was where it was.
In
Moore, Oklahoma.
Yeah. This thing of you working as a youngster, that was just an automatic with you.
Automatic.
Nobody told you you had to. You just felt, I need to work.
I have to in order to have clothes and have things. You know, another thing happened to me at Guthrie. I dated a girl named Patty Gummerson. She died a few years ago. Her name was Patty Gibson, Fred Gibson's wife. She was my girlfriend and would have these little parties on Saturday night. And I didn't have anything besides Levi's. That's all I owned. I thought that was all I needed on. But the boys were wearing slacks, and I didn't have any slacks. Ralph Hood bought me a pair of slacks at C.R. Anthony's. And did you know I never told that story until 4 or 5 years ago? I was coming out of Stillwater seeing a friend of mine that was on his deathbed, and I stopped at Guthrie, Oklahoma, and saw John Gummerson, Ralph Gummerson's son. I had lunch with him. And he said, you know, John, you were here just 1 year, but you always kept up with my dad, and when he died, you sent an awful nice check for whatever he wanted it to go to. He said, I don't understand that. And I said, John, your dad bought me the first pair of slacks that I ever owned. He said, John, I didn't know that. I said, he didn't tell anybody, and I didn't either. But I'll always remember Ralph Gummerson. The Gummerson family, all of them, John and Patty and their mother, just greatest people in the world. I'll tell you another story about Guthrie. I had never seen a Republican. And I moved to Guthrie, and a guy named Barnes, Lefty Barnes, was a Republican nominee for governor. And a guy by the name of Bill Clark and I, Bill is a professor of mathematics at Stephen F. Austin, and has been for many, many years. He lived in my neighborhood, and I said, I heard that there's a Republican lives here in town. He said, well, most of them are. And I said, really? What do they look like? So we go over and sit catty corner from the Barnes house, and he came out, and I said, well, he looks just like a regular person. But living down home, you know, I never seen one. So anyway, I saw Lefty Barnes, and of course he had a daughter named Janie that was a friend of mine. She is in 7th grade, and I'm 9th. And Janie's son-in-law is a Democratic member of the state Senate from Norman, Oklahoma.
How about that?
I was with he and another guy one night. And this other guy got telling back whenever I was chief page of the Senate that I took these kids, some of the pages, and we went over to Guthrie for something. And that guy said, why'd you go to Guthrie? And I said, I used to live there. And he said, my mother-in-law's from there. You probably wouldn't know her. And I said, well, try me. He said, Janie Barnes. I said, ask her if she remembers John Massey.
Were your folks politically active, and they were Democrats?
My dad was very active. Back in those days, that was after the Hoover administration, and you know how politics is. They blame the man in office for everything. He has nothing to do with it, but they blame him anyway because he tries to take credit for it and otherwise. But it was a thought process, you know. It was 99% Democrats. Back whenever I was a senator from Bryan County, I bet there wasn't 20 Republicans in the county. And one of the Republicans was one of my dearest friends, it's Slew Hewitt, who was postmaster here. Slew, he was a great advisor to me. He's really a good man.
Then you're into high school in Durant.
Durant.
And you played football?
Played football. When I first got here, I went to work at a grocery store, and then I got a job at R.C. Pullet Company, which was a dry goods store. Then I worked on the ice docks, and then I went with my Uncle George, who opened George's Drive-In here, and I worked there the last 2 years in school. Worked there 40 hours a week, played football, taught Sunday school. I had a full schedule.
You said ice docks. People who listen to this may not know what that is.
Well, we filled up ice jugs in the morning, and people come by, and we delivered ice to homes. I did that one summer, but my regular job was running an ice dock, and that's filling up water jugs for workers as they go out to work that day. They'd come by and fill up an ice jug, charge 10, 15, 20 cents, you know, whatever the size of the jug was.
So in high school, beyond football, were you involved in anything else in school?
Oh, yeah, DECA. I always enjoyed DECA. That's Distributive Education Clubs of America, where you go to school half day and you work half day. I was in that 2 years.
Were you a good student, you think?
I was above average student. Didn't probably apply myself as much. I think I started applying myself. I joined the Army in 1954. And November, Mike McCoy and I went on a buddy system, and he decided we should be in the medical corps because he had a brother-in-law that was in the medical corps. So we joined, and he flunked his physical, and they brought him home and took me on. It was a great experience. I went through basic, and then I went to medical school down in San Antonio, and they put you in the field medics first for about a month, and then they moved you to school. Once you go through that month, you learn how to study to stay in this school. Everybody in that class had a degree except me and a boy from California that was a National Guard just there for the school. And I learned how to study. So I did real well. I got the honor student of the class. But I really got the honor student on OJT. They take your 12 weeks there at San Antonio and then take 12 weeks on the job training. Shifts go 7 to 3, 3 to 11. But I realized that if I'd go work at 6:30, I could meet the night shift. And then I'd work with the day shift, and I'd stay another 30 or 45 minutes after my shift to get acquainted with the evening shift, because I knew they voted on what the students did. And you go from department to departments every 2 weeks. I won by a landslide. And I got a job. They sent me to Colorado Springs, Fort Carson, and we were interviewed, 7 or 8 of us, by the public health department. The man of the public health department asked me what I knew about venereal disease. I said, I never heard of it. He said, have you heard of the clouts? And I said, yes, but I didn't know it was venereal disease. All of us went through, and he called 3 of us back, and he picked me. Now, can you believe I was a private first class, I guess. I got an office, I got a secretary, and nobody could bother me. I was there for about, I guess, 16 months, 17 months, had a great job, a Sunday school superintendent, got acquainted with a lot of good kids. I worked at a theater at night. A guy named Joe Anderson, who was Carl Albert's administrative assistant, he stopped my dad and says, where's John? We need him to make speeches. He's stationed in Colorado. Have him put in for a transfer. So Dad called me, and I did. I wasn't sure I wanted to leave Colorado. It was nice, and I had good assignments, and I had a private room. I mean, it just had everything a soldier would like, but I did. And the first sergeant said, you type it up yourself. I'm not typing it up. It's going to be turned down. And I said, just do it. I don't care. So he did and turned it down, and that was 10 o'clock in the morning. At 1 o'clock, he came upstairs to my office, said, I've got to have you off this base by 6 o'clock. He said, what in the world have you done? I said, I don't know. But anyway, I got transferred to Fort Walters, Texas. I get there, and they're changing the base from an Air Force base to an Army base and put the helicopter school in, is what they're doing. So I get there, and there's not very many good soldiers around. In other words, I got all the jobs I needed. So they put me in charge of sick call. All the patients come through you, and you assign them to the doctor in which they should be. I did that, and then they put me in charge of venereal disease department, public health department there. Then they put me NCO in charge of the new hospital. The major that was in charge of it, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life, got kicked out of the service for personal reasons, and the colonel, his name was Colonel Sweet, he said, well, you've been doing all the work anyway, just watch this. And I was in charge of building a pretty good-sized hospital. And back in those days, it was real big. How big it is today, I don't know. I haven't been back but one time since I got out. But I was in charge of that, and that took about 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. But I'd sell encyclopedias at night. New Standard Encyclopedias, I got a $20 down payment, and that was my commission. I sent the order in, they sent them the books. How many I'm paid, I don't know. I never saw a set of New Standard Encyclopedias until I was in college, and I saw a set one day. But I sold a lot of encyclopedias.
You were like 19, 20 years old here.
Oh, yeah. I got out of service, and I was 21 years old.
In 1957, I believe you got out. But this transfer came about through Carl Albert's office.
Yes. I called my dad and told him that it had been turned down.
So that's
And I'm sure he called Joe Anderson, and Joe Anderson said, just sit still.
I thought they were transferring you there because they wanted you to make speeches.
That's right. Down here on the weekends, I'd come home and make speeches. I made two speeches. He had an opponent that year, some retired veteran over in eastern Oklahoma. And I spoke at Ida Bell at a big rally one night, and I made one other speech.
And that was it?
That was it.
For Carl Albert?
Uh-huh.